Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Orgullosamente Latino hasta la muerte y después. Worldwide Latino Pride, the ambassadors of violence. LAX, K-Dog, the notorious 187 Homicide.
Bang,
bang,
bang, bang, bang.
Don't say nothing.
Bang, 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 bang.
We be dumping.
Bang, 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 bang. Just act like you know. And homie, stop.
Stomping. I'm from Miami, not Compton. Down with the essays in the 6-4 hopping. To my Boricuas in the 787. And those up in Brooklyn pulling 211.
I come through stomping. Rolling in my low top chucks. Making sure you suckers feel me every time we buzz. Shackled up like a nut going 5150. G'd up in the feet up. Queen stuff in some dickies.
I rap a lot. Like the label out of Houston. Sneaky like the clucker in the shop. Straight boosting. To all my gente down in Juarez. Cálmate un momento, paisa, no dispares.
Put it down from Killer Cali to the MIA. Ask the homie Crazy K, yo man, that boy don't play. It's in my NIAK, putting it down all day. Representing Southern Cali, get in my way, yo, get sprayed.
We be dropping.
Bang, the dang, the dang, dang.
Don't say nothing.
Bang, the dang, the dang, dang.
We be dropping.
Bang, the dang, the dang, dang. Just act like you know.
Okay, let's play devil's advocate. Joe, try to explain to me why on this show that would be the main event. See if I can maybe understand.
It's so stupid. Because let me tell you, I don't like to use words like that. I don't want to call Tony stupid. But right. Dude, you've got 9,000 people, one of your bigger TV houses in a while, because the TV shows have been doing like 2,000, 3,000
and a hot
people,
crowd.
Right? And a hot crowd. You're in Boston. Bro, format the show like the way it should be formatted. You have a world championship match on the show. It should be your main event. Like, this common sense, not your first, man. Like, what are you trying to, bro, this just shows how clueless he is. You're literally trying to draw numbers and stuff and thing, and everything you do every week is failing. Like, look, did you think that you would go from 900,000 people? The way you formatted the show, you started 900,000 and ended 627,000 people?
I think we had that same problem last week, Joe.
Well, what you asked before, you asked, like, try to explain that main event to you. I could see a reason for almost every other match to be the main event, except right. The one that was actually the main event.
Right. So that's what throws me. So, all right, let's get to the show, because I actually liked the show.
Did you really?
Yep.
Okay. I didn't really turn off any of this stuff, right?
Right.
What I was watching, but I'm going to do what I do and be critical of some of the things, or just give my opinion. But City Donate comes out. I was not a fan. Maybe people were. I was not a fan of this promo because she spent 5 to 6 minutes basically just. She's supposed to be like the top. Like let me, could you imagine if Jade Cargill walked into the WWE and cut a promo like this? Like talking about how, when she was 13 years old, she'd take care of her brother. Dude, this was just a girl that sounded like she was marking out and kind of happy to be there and was not like, presenting character work. Like her gimmick is supposed to be the CEO. From the first word out of her mouth, she should have like invested in that gimmick. The first 6 minutes of this promo were her just sitting there like, marking up. But then she said, let's get down to business, huh? She said that she was there because she needed to be there and wanted to be there. She said, AEW is the only place where this revolution could be global. It's not really accurate. Monet says you've been watching and can't wait to tear it up with everyone in the locker room. And Monet says you want to start with the main event of Riho versus Willow Nightingale. Monet said she and Willow have a lot of unfinished business. Okay, if she said that and you don't know about the New Japan stuff, do you have any clue what she's talking about?
Nope.
Nothing.
I agree 1,000,000%.
Mercedes Monet is all elite, and Monet's all elite appeared on the screen, and Monet thanked Tony Khan for the tweet and told the fans watching at home to say hello to their new CEO. Then she danced in the ring with a fan chanting CEO. Okay, now she's going to get the CEO chant every week, was a good chant, because you have crowd participation. But this did not sound like a promo of a girl whose gimmick is the CEO. This sounded like a mark.
Okay,
that's my only critical comment.
This is what I think happened. She hasn't been in WWE. How long would you say, Joe? 2 years?
I think it's 2 years, right?
Is it? I think it's only a year.
Okay, well, a year. She went to Japan. She broke her ankle. You know, she finally gets out there. The place is going crazy. It's her hometown, so she legitimately broke down. Okay, she was raised in Boston.
And oh, well, it has been 2 years. Yeah, there you go.
So follow my thought pattern, because it's like when CM Punk came back and he was all like, oh, shucks, I missed you guys and all this other shit. You know, it's like, it's welcome home, because that happened to me once in Mexico. I had left for 7 years and I came back and I wasn't sure how they would respond to me. And they went nuts. And I fucking, you know, I didn't get emotional, but it was incredible rush.
You're surprised.
Yeah. And so here's the thing I did like. The crowd loved her. The crowd was really hot for her. She looked like a star, which 90% of that place does not look like a star. Okay. She took off her shit. She looked sexy. You know, it would have been really nice if the commentators were explained the thing about Willow Nightingale, just like it would have been really nice if the commentators explained the thing, how hazardous it is to climb Mount Everest for fucking Darby Allin. That's kind of like your job. And bro, that's one of the problems. Even when O'Shea Jackson came on here, he was saying that's one of the problems. I don't know what the fuck is going on. I don't know who's what. And they should have explained the Willow thing. But I'm thinking, my thought process is, okay, the show started off hot. This is a hot crowd. Let's see how they capitalize on this.
Right.
So then this is actually 12 years ago. You know what WWE guy climbed Mount Everest?
No.
JBL.
Did he really?
Yep.
Wow, that's interesting.
That's an incredible feat.
Yeah, he climbed the highest peak on each continent to help raise money for a charity he works with called the Family Center, which helps needy kids in Bermuda.
Wow, that takes a lot of strength, endurance.
So Joe cuts a promo backstage and basically said he doesn't lose championships in the Garden.
Okay, and now I'm being very picky, but I wish they would have interviewed Wardlow or Swerve before this match. But
well, here's the problem. What they did instead was somebody had a very clever little funny idea for a video. So they showed Adam Cole in a chair and he's reading a fairy tale book about Wardlow. And Cole said Wardlow was locked away and guarded by an evil man, a true devil. He said the only way to free him is to become the warrior he's destined to be. Then Cole said Wardlow found brotherhood with a group of men who hated the evil man as much as he did. Cole said all the hatred for the evil men was unleashed and Wardlow won precious gold for the kingdom. That's the story he was reading, right? Bro, this story should have been, they should have done this vignette the week before. They literally did this right before the match. They went out and had the match, and the Wardlow, with very little resistance, gets choked out in the middle of the ring. Joe, try to bring it up. I want to show you this, because this was Wardlow being very frustrated and not understanding his spot on the card and how he sold this. Pull up Joe choking him out, okay? Because here was a spot. Joe went up in the corner, started giving Wardlow the punches. Wardlow pulls Samoa Joe off the thing and power bombs him in the middle of the ring. Gets good fire, takes his straps off, runs at Joe for a clothesline. Joe ducks the clothesline, puts the choke on him, and chokes him out. That was the finishing sequence of the match. And Joe didn't really even lock his legs in. Wardlow didn't really resist. Like, well, watch this. Wardlow did himself no favors here on this.
Good punches.
Yeah. We could go forward a little bit, Joe, until he gets him in the corner for the punches.
There we go.
No, keep going forward. Keep going forward. Keep going. Keep going.
Okay.
Keep Okay. Oh, no. Okay. All right. Go before this. Go before this. All right.
So he's going for a pin.
No. Go before this.
Yeah, I know. I was there. He told me to go forward.
Yeah.
So
he gives him the knee.
That was brutal.
Like that knee finish. That used to be his finish when he first came in AEW. Okay? So now he's shocked. All right? Okay? He got a little lost there for a minute. He goes for the, what you call it.
Ooh.
Goes for the senton. Misses it. All right, good bump. Nice. Okay, Joe's got out of that. Goes to the corner. 10 punches, or however many punches.
You hit him.
Power bomb. Like four. Hey, boom, so power bombs. Okay, and that's like his finish. So he's thinking, okay, now I'm going to give him the Powerbomb Symphony coming up here, right? All right, now you're thinking, Joe, you know, okay. He's going to powerbomb again. So good fire here. Good stuff. Kicks Joe off. Goes to the clothesline.
Gotcha.
Okay, now watch the way he sells this. Tries to get the ropes. Hey, Joe's not even locking his legs. Now, Joe should be locking his legs. Wardlow's not fighting at all.
He went out pretty quick.
I just went out. Like, what did you think of that, Gordon?
But maybe that's what he was directed to do, D.I., you know?
I don't know.
Why would you do that? But anyways, I just feel what I saw, and obviously I could be mad, I could be wrong. I just saw maybe a guy that's frustrated and said, I don't give a fuck. Just get this over with. Let me just say this. Bro, I have a very strong opinion on this, and if any of you disagree, please chime in.
Okay. You turn
first
it off.
Of all, I'm
You can turn it off, Joe.
Yeah, I was just looking at the end.
So one of the things that stands out to me, Wardlow's so very agile, okay? And he likes to do like the Jeff Hardy fucking senton and the fucking, what's that other thing he does? That
Whisper.
Yeah,
Whisper the Wind or something.
Whatever. Yeah. Right. Okay, somebody explain to me, much like the main event, why would that over-bloated roster, why this guy got choked out and beat clean like that? It was bad enough you dropped the ball on one of the hottest acts in your five-year history. Then you put him on the Undisputed Kingdom, which I'm sorry, guys. You just look like lame-looking group, even though I'm a big fan of Strong.
Yeah, same.
How are they going to rehabilitate him from this? He's lost so much steam. Does he have heat?
Dude, let's go through the one.
It would have to be, right?
Why? So they have a heel faction. Right,
they weren't even involved.
They have a chance. They have a chance to win the world championship, and this is the one match those guys decide not to come out there and they come up all the other.
You just bad enough. You buried him once. You just buried him again. And I'm not. And people think I have something personal, but I'm not. There's a time and a place to dance. I don't think when Swerve came out with Flavor Flav, that's the place for him to be dancing. You know what I'm saying? He's got the dance over, and he's got some personality. I'm not a big fan of any of the managers in AEW because I think the only one that does a good job is, what's this guy's name? Christian and Don Callis, you know?
Right. Post-match in this, Swerve came out with Nana and was held back and beat up the security guards, tried to get in the ring. They stopped him and Joe Powell.
Right. My point was while he was doing that, which is supposed to be a serious thing, Nana's dancing behind him, you know?
Right.
And there's a time and a place. Do it when you come out. You know what I'm saying? I'm a big fan of Swerve. He's come a long way from Lucha Underground, which I worked with him there, and in MLW. He always had a low-key, cool vibe to him. Plus, girls always dug him, and that's always cool. You know, Ricochet had that same vibe, too.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So guess what, boys?
Yo.
Public service announcement here. K100 with Conan and Disco is brought to you by Get Blitzed. Get Blitz was created by Mickey Ray Sinatra from Moe Thug South plus Courtney, the brains of the operation. The big product here, the number one seller, is their nano-infused THC syrup. You know a lot of our listeners here like the THC, and this is a real deal THC. Not the garbage they sell in the gas stations. The stuff in the gas stations is garbage.
Yeah.
It is super potent, like THC on steroids. It's a 5 to 15 minute onset with as little as a teaspoon. It's perfect for the weekend, for relaxing, for a party. And there's no hangover. You know what it's perfect for? Halftime of the football game. So you can take the teaspoon by itself, mix with water, soda, juice, and energy drink, whatever you want. The mix with the energy drink is fantastic, by the way. Flavors like cherry and grape are both delicious either way. Go to getblitz.com and use the code K100 to get 15% off. That's GET-blitzed, BLITZED.com. I've been using this product. Great for watching football, gotta admit. Great for watching hockey. Great for watching TV. Great for watching the soccer games in the morning. Great for after the gym if you want to wind down. So if you're looking to up your game and avoid low-quality imitations with shady ingredients, check out Get Blitz now at GET-BLITZED.com and use our code K100, that's K100, to get 15% off. That ain't cheap. Order, enjoy, let us know on Twitter or K100Questions@gmail.com about your experience. That's 50% off with the code K100 at GetBlitz.com. Great product. I love the t-shirts, too.
Yeah, I love the t-shirt too, the Kool-Aid guy.
Yeah, that's excellent. Well, it's funny because, you know, when when he first wanted us to bring Get Blitzed aboard, you know, he sent us all a sample. And I got Cherry. And actually, I used it. I used the whole bottle, you know, just video games or even, you know, watching a movie like Disco said. And now I'm a paid customer. That's how much, you know, I enjoyed the experience. So, yeah, it's real chill. Like Disco said, halftime of a football game, or if you're just chilling watching a movie with your girl or with friends or whatever, it's a good time, and there is no hangover, just like we mentioned in the copy. You know, you're not going to feel like you drank the night before, or you're not going to feel woozy because you smoked too much or something. You wake up fresh as a daisy.
Well, this is what I like about it. Everything from listening to music, watching TV, football games, sports, movies, everything, it enhances everything that I'm doing. And my 10 favorite flavors are piña colada and grape. So get glitz, get high without, you know, feeling shaky, without getting that garbage that you get at the stores or at the gas stations. This is a real deal. We all use it. We all love it. And as we said before, we're not going to endorse anything that doesn't work. So get blitz at getblitz.com. Boom.
So I was going to speculate, you know, Conan, you said why, you know, what's going on with Warlow? Does he have heat? And I was going to speculate that, you know what, maybe he was a Cody guy and a Cody project. And since Cody left, he's had, you know, he's had all these problems. Now, I looked it up real quick, and it actually says here, this is Wardlow on Cody Rhodes. Cody is going to be mentioned. I'm going to be mentioning Cody until the day I die, and that just is what it is. We're married, whether we like it or not, simply for the fact that he was a very big part of me getting my foot in the door. And obviously that first match, that was all him. He brought me in and said, I'll work with you. I'll just never be able to thank him enough. Behind the scenes, he was very much somebody I was extremely comfortable going to. He was kind of like a father figure, and his presence is missed by myself backstage and probably a few others. Honestly, he's somebody I'm still going to call when I need advice. He's just that guy. I don't trust many people, but I do trust him. So maybe I got a little something there. Maybe that's...
I think they're wrong because MJF is a Cody guy and they don't bury him. Well, you're going to bury every person that Cody helped? I mean, I'm not saying he couldn't be that petty because he's shown to be, but... Maybe Wardlow even told him, hey, I've been contacted by WWE, and if you're not going to do nothing with me, let me know. And he got heat over that, or maybe he is going to leave. I don't even know when his contract is up. Can you check?
Yeah.
But something weird is going on. I don't know. It doesn't seem right that somebody that over just got beat again, choked out clean again. The only difference between the first chokeout and this one is they didn't cut his hair.
Right. So they go backstage. Well, there's a shot earlier today. The Elite show up, and Marvin asked if Katawai joined the faction. Nicholas interrupted and told to call Katawai's full name. Matthew said asked if Marvez if he could feel the synergy from the best athletes in the world. Matthew said Okada helped him and Nicholas out when they were at their lowest, and then said there's also 14 million other reasons. Okada told his opponents for the evening that he was coming for them. He also told Marvez to say happy birthday to Matthew. Marvin wished him a happy birthday, but Okada told him to sing it, which Marvez did. Did this get any heel heat on these characters?
No.
The Young Bucks make their entrance, and once they got to the bottom of the entrance ramp, Matthew flipped a coin, and once it fell to the ground, Okada's entrance theme played. They took on Eddie Kingston, Pac, and Penta El Zero Medio. I'm watching this match, and I'm just wondering, why on earth? Like, why are they going with Okada and Eddie Kingston? Eddie Kingston looks completely out of place in the ring with this guy. I just did not, you know, so they won, and they pinned Eddie and stuff, and everything, but this was Eddie Kingston's work. It sticks out like a sore thumb with these guys because he looks clumsy and his strikes aren't good. His chops aren't very good. And, you know, Okada hit him with a forearm that looked really crappy because Eddie barely doesn't know how to sell these things. I don't know. I'm absolutely not interested in anything Okada's doing right now because he's in a faction and he's wrestling Eddie Kingston. And if anybody's a AEW fan, are you into this? I'm not. So,
yeah. So, like I said, the show started off hot with Monet. Then they had a good, you know, they had the Joe promo backstage, and they had the Samoa Joe Wardlow match with the swerve aftermath. So far, I'm liking everything I've seen. I like this type of match, and the reason I like this style. To me, Okada comes off as a star, and I can't wait to see him either against Jay White or Danielson or any of those guys. That's going to be really good. But at least Eddie wasn't playing patty cake on the guy's chest like he does, or playing the congas, lightly playing the congas on his chest. Bro, he was bringing those chops and the back fist. And I think that when he gets in there with Okada, he's going to be very physical, because I'm sure Okada's going to be physical with him. My problem is, like I said before, they have a lot of great matches with very little storytelling, and I'm into storytelling. You know, this or Joe should have been the main event.
All I can find really about Wardlow's contract is some speculation that it expired in December, or it should have, because he signed a 4-year deal in 2019. But maybe he had did he have injury time out that maybe he owes them? I'm not sure, but where he signed an extension.
You might be right. Maybe he had a certain amount of dates he had to fill in the time, and he got injured and he's doing makeup.
Yeah.
You know? Very possible.
I don't know I don't know how that helped this guy at all when you're trying to get people behind him again and just beat him like this. Like, he's got to be leaving, or he's got heat.
So Ospreay comes out with a promo. He was, you know, I'm not a fan of the way these guys dress. I guess for that fan, I guess he's an athlete, but I would, if you want to be the guy, I would dress the part. You know what I'm saying? Like, one of the reasons Cody Rhodes is super over is because he's very professional in his presentation. You know?
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
MikeDurbin.com. You can get the WCW-esque Conan in that K-Dog Wolfpack style. Man, this Conan might be Bendy of the year right now.
I told you.
Yo. Let me speak on this. Mike Durbin Productions exclusive.
Conan, I was the most impressed with Conan, man. It's like undercover Bendy of the year. It's a really nice figure. The do-rag is freaking awesome in person. I love the exclusive with the WCW packaging. I love this one with the camo. It's really nice.
And I will say, a figurine expert who went to TJ on Friday, Matt Cardona, put it over as being a good figurine as far as figurines go.
Yo, hold on, let me speak on this. Exclusive Mike Durbin Productions. K-Dog. Look at that. Listen to K-Dog keeping it 100. Logo on the back. MikeDurbin.com. Get it right now. Low-key might be Bendy of the year. Go get it.
So, Shivani brought up Ospreay's match with Bryan Danielson at AEW. Oh, by the way, this was funny. They're really trying to sell Okada as like this great wrestler. Okay, because Matt says, this is the best wrestler in the world. Best wrestler. Okay. This is how lame the announcing is. Okay, Tony Schiavone. So Pac gave a guy a move, like he did the 450 flip thing springboard. 1-2. Okada made the save, and Tony Schiavone, in his mind, okay, I have to put over Okada. Tony Schiavone goes, well, what a save by Okada. He's one of the best wrestlers I've ever seen.
Yeah,
and all he did was just make a save.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, whatever, right? You know, whatever, Tony. So he's talking about his match with Danielson. He recalled Danielson telling him to prove that he's the best wrestler in the world. Ospreay spoke about the Tiger Driver 9-1 move. Ospreay recalled Danielson asking if the move was worth it. Ospreay said he was covered in blood and won the match. So it was worth it. Ospreay said he respects Danielson. He spoke of restoring the feeling. Ospreay said the thing he's learned from Danielson is that he can have respect for the person who stands opposite him, but once he enters the ring, it's his life or his opponent's. He doesn't plan on taking his dying breath. Ospreay said his match with Danielson is about finding out who is the best wrestler in the world. Ospreay said he is on another level. What did you think about the verbiage here?
Well, you asked me yesterday you asked me yesterday if he cut a good interview, and I told you yes, and here it is. My only problem is his accent is so thick, sometimes I don't understand what he's saying, but the fact that he used the word bruv instead of bro is super over with the fans.
Okay.
I said, if you take into the totality the show from the beginning, so far I've liked every segment.
Okay. The verbiage here is just nothing for me. Because, dude, he's talking about doing the Tiger Driver 9-1 move where he drops the guy and says, this to me is like, it's an interview for the dirt sheet fans that, like, remember the moves that he did in matches with these guys and stuff at the end. They're going to rate the stars in the match. I'm not, like, to me, there's nothing, there's not a personal issues here. Neither guy has insulted the other guy. They're showing massive respect for each other, and they're out to prove who the best wrestler is. And I'm like, all right, whatever, you know, I don't know. I just, that to me is just, it's just like any other match on their card. They have, they booked a match and they got to cut a promo to try and make it interesting, but there's no story. It's just two guys wanted to be the best wrestler.
Well, that is a story.
I mean, it's not compelling, to be honest, because I don't really know, like, people that don't really know, like, if you're saying, yo, Will Ospreay's supposed to be the best wrestler in the world.
Yeah, I think, but like, yeah, if you, like, you, don't, you look you around, if time, you look you know around, I mean? Kenny Omega was the best wrestler for like the last few years to me, right? And then now it's like, okay, is it Okada? Is it Ospreay? Or is it still Danielson? Like, you know, there's, you can have some good dream matches, and then you could probably also even throw in Jay White in that little thing. Like, they're going to have some really good matches coming up. You can throw Swerve in there. You can throw Hangman Page. Like, they're going to have a lot of good matches. Just, they don't have good storylines with them, and that's the only thing that...
I'm going to throw this at you, okay? And this is why I don't think this is a good story, okay? Because, you know, what's his name is not really... Okay, the Blackpool Combat Club is a little bit heelish right now, right? Dude, you like, Ospreay needs to be... But here's the thing. Ospreay needs to be bringing up... Okay, because the dynamic of this match, you have the older veteran guy, you know, Danielson's on his last legs. You know, bro, it's kind of, let's do this. Let's take this storyline and instead tell Conan Babyface against Per Aguirre Sr. as a heel. What was the storyline of that feud when you guys were feuding with each other? What was the story? The older... Bad, you know, heel guy, you know, stuff in there against the young up and coming, like
suit. Right, that was the story. Right, I was the cocky. I was even though I was a baby face, I was like a cocky baby face that was just saying, "Hey, you can't go anymore. I'm the future." And he was like, "Yeah, I still got mileage left." Like, that was the story.
Okay, that should be this story. They're not telling, like, bro, you should be talking about Brian Danielson. The only way you're going to beat me is to cheat. You're going to have to pull out every trick out of your back, because you know you can't beat me. I'm too young. I'm too good. I'm in my prime. You're washed. And then and then the storyline of the match is Daniel's just constantly trying to take shortcuts on this guy. And maybe, like, cheat. You look like he cheated him, and he could, you know, something. But they're not telling that story. They're just talking about, like, they're two equal guys trying to be the best wrestler in the world. That's my point here.
I can get into either storyline. They're both good to me.
All right. So Deonna Purrazzo delivered a promo backstage and said that Storm may have a match scheduled on Rampage, so she might stay around and get a close look.
Let me just say this. I like Deonna because I worked with her in AAA and in Impact.
Right.
But this feud has really been underwhelming for as much time as they've invested in it, from the match tattoos to the fucking everything about it. You know what I'm saying?
Right. They've done a lot.
The matches haven't even been that good, and I thought they'd be better.
Right. They've done a lot of vignettes, backstage, in rings. And there's still not a lot of substance like going on here, right? You know. So Jay White against Darby Allin, why this match is taking place. Well, they did this match, I think, just to get to this post-match. So Jay White beats Darby Allin. Then Austin Gunn headed the ring to celebrate with White. Allin got to his knees, and White offered him a handshake. And Allin raised his hand, but White made the gun sign and kicked his head. He attacked him. White slid a chair in the ring and then brought a baseball bat in the ring with him. The guns wrapped Allin's leg in the chair. Then White wound up at the bat, was interrupted, and the Acclaim comes out. Billy Gunn, Max Caster, and Bowens, and they try to talk down White, Austin, Colton. Then Caster and Bowens helped Allin leave the ring while White let Billy take the baseball bat, but then picked up the chair and hit Billy with it. And Carter Bowman's return to the ring were left lying by White, Austin, and Colton. Then White performed a Blade Runner on Billy, and Austin Colton threw Allin back in the ring. Then White wrapped Allin's left ankle in the chair and slammed the bat on it. And once again, the baby faces look stupid for even trying to be friends with these guys to begin with. This is what I got out of this. What do you think of this?
All right. I think Jay is a way better as a singles wrestler than he is in that corny group. Right. And I would like to thank three people. I would like to thank, number one, whoever came up with the idea for blunts, okay? I would like to thank whoever came up with the idea for lingerie. And I would also like to thank the guy that decided to break this wacky group up. Bro, this was brutal.
Gang bang, scissor gang.
Right. Brumbang, Scissor Gang. Yeah, and I the Scissor Gang thing, Scissor Me Daddy and all that, it's kind of like the Nene. Watch me whip, watch me Nene. It's slowly losing momentum.
Exactly. Oh, but I will say this. Very good beatdown for the heels.
Yes.
Very good beatdown.
Yes.
Yeah.
The guns are great.
Yeah, they are. They look like they can throw. You know what the guns look like? They look like the type of guys that go out in the bars and get fucked with by people. They look like they can fight and beat people's ass.
Yeah, like old school.
You know, right. Yeah, like you know, yeah. So,
I said before, D.I., when I saw them at StarCast, like they went out of their way. Like if a guy was walking by and kind of had a puss on him, like, oh, what's up, man? You're not having a good time? Come here. Come over here. And they were like very engaging. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
it was, yeah. Well, their dad is very engaging. It's very
and their
funny.
Table was by the entrance. So everyone that came in, hey, buddy, what's going on here? Come over here, you know.
Right. Chris Jericho comes out. Okay, I'm confused about this. So,
you know who I just figured out that Joe reminds me of, Disco?
Who?
With all the quirky movements. Remember Tweak from South Park?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see, I sent you guys a picture of that fashion show. Which where one? That... The one where the guy was wearing the outfit that had Towley on.
Oh, yeah. That's hilarious. Yeah.
I think I want to get wear that. Why not? Be sure to use a towel.
Right.
Towel.
What a great character.
Great.
No, but my favorite is when the towel would hit the bong and the eyes would turn red. That's great.
Okay, now explain this to me.
Yeah.
So Hook is with Jericho and they wrestled the Gates of Agony, Bishop Calhoun. And Toa Leona, and they beat them. Dude, these guys have, you know, these are Ring of Honor guys, right? So they beat them, okay? But explain this to me. Why is Jericho wrestling Hook next week?
Yeah, because he did that backstage interview, and he said, oh, I want to see, you know, what you got. Like, they don't know what to do.
Yeah. Is that what they did?
Yeah.
I want to see what you got, so they're going to tag, but they're going to have
now
a match.
I want to face you, see if you're the real deal, you know. Really?
That's Young Lion.
That's the angle. Bro, this is the thing. Those two guys, Tio Leone, is that his name? Tio Leone?
Yeah, Toa Leone.
Yeah. Tio Leone's the actress. So it's similar to that. Yeah.
Who's the other guy?
Yeah, who's the other guy on the team, D.I.?
Bishop Calhoun.
Okay. One looks black, one looks Samoan, I'm not sure, but they've got a great look, okay? But there seems to be, like, Tony must hate Giants because Cage, Lance Archer, Wardlow, these guys, all they ever do is do jobs. And I don't mind a little, and maybe he came up in the steroid era and hated the fact that if you were big, you got to push. But bro, every little guy should not be beating every big guy. Like it should be just a couple guys, you know, but every single big guy is always doing a job just about.
And unless it's the smaller guy's a jobber.
Yeah.
I just
seemed that Jericho, to me, again, he seems to have lost a lot of steam because first Don turned on him. Remember the Callis family?
Right.
Then he was teaming up with Sammy. Then for some reason, he wrestled Atlantis Jr. Then he wrestled Titan. Not sure why. Then he tagged up with Hook, and now he's wrestling against Hook. Very, very weird. Like, they don't know what to do with him, and I'm surprised Chris hasn't, like, redirected himself and gotten into a storyline. I'm sure he will, but it just seems like lately he has no direction.
He's 100% in no man's land right now. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Well,
so
not only if that's Tony's thing where he's, you know, anti-big guy, not only because of the steroid era Conan, but if you remember, you know, around like 2004, you had your guys like Punk, Brian, AJ, Chris Daniels, all these guys that were smaller at that time coming up and tearing it up on the indies and TNA. At the same time, Johnny Ace was in charge of talent at WWE when JR stepped down, and one of his first mandates was, I'm not signing anybody under 6'4", 270. And that went on for a while, and that was a shitty time for WWE's product. You know what I mean?
Right.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Well, you know what, boys? It's the new year, and you know you should be back into the swing of things with your health and fitness routine. Hopefully that means you're using world-class nutritional supplements from Legacy Sports Nutrition. Whether it's bestsellers like TestX9 Testosterone Booster, Recovery PM Sleep Optimizer, or the delicious salted caramel whey protein, you can be sure you're using elite level products. Now, this show, K100, is the most used discount code ever at legacysubs.com, and we can't thank you enough for the loyalty to both Legacy and this show. Using that code supports our show and Legacy, which, as you know, is brought to you by Nick on Probation Aldis and Mickey James. Legacy wants to reward you, our K100 family. So every customer that uses code K100, that's K100, at legacysupps.com to the end of February, will receive a free water-resistant Bluetooth speaker while stocks last. That's awesome. So level up your performance, well-being, and mind with legacysubs.com. And don't forget to use the code K100 at checkout. And we're giving you a Bluetooth speaker for being a loyal members of legacysubs.com.
Free speaker, huh?
Ooh. What do you use, Joe?
Yeah, I definitely use the Recovery PM every night. I sleep way deeper. You wind up having these vivid type dreams. You're out like a light and you wake up and there's no fogginess or like, if you use like some other sleep aid, sometimes you wake up foggy, but not with Recovery PM.
I've been using desiccated liver pills.
Cool.
They've been great. I feel great.
They're the reason we've been with them for 2 years.
Maybe three even at this point.
3 years. The fact that we have the most what?
With the most buys with our referral code, we beat everybody else. Yeah.
All right. So this works. They have a whole array of supplements. Go check it out. You know, get your supplements at Legacy Supps. Boom.
Okay. So this is.
And that was stupid because I said then, and I'm going to say it now, you can't put a weight or a height on talent.
Okay. So Tony apparently had written down on his sheet, his booking sheet, this match. And unfortunately, Kyle O'Reilly had to come out and make sense of it. So Kyle O'Reilly is interviewed by Renee Capet. He spoke about his time away being the darkest day of his life, but then his neck and arm got better. He said, there's one guy out there I've been looking at that can bring out the best in him, Brian Keith.
Wait a minute. What? Wait
a minute. He said, Brian Keith can bring up Brian Keith, the bounty hunter.
Yeah, the guy that never wins. That guy's going to take the best out of you.
Bro, he's calling him out.
One loss record, did Joe?
Joe, pull it out. This one's funny.
I got to hear this.
This is like the worst call out ever. If this is like UFC. Like, you called it. Like, could you imagine if Dustin Poirier won and called out CM Punk?
Right.
So.
That's tremendous.
So Roderick Strong and Taven and Mike Bennett show up, and Strong said he had so much respect for O'Reilly, said if he wants to do things on his own, that he should do that, and he hugged and bumped his. So they're going to turn on him, obviously, which is predictable. So Sasha Banks is not a big girl at all.
Right.
Okay. She looked like Andre the Giant in her backstage segment when she was with Riho.
Right.
Okay. Like she towered over Riho. Okay. Right. And Riho looked just Riho looked like a fan. Like a little girl.
12-year-old girl, bro. That's what she looks like.
He's 1-11.
Okay, so that's the guy that's got Kyle O'Reilly all riled up.
I'm back. And I'm looking for the best.
Bro, tweet that disco. Tweet that Kyle O'Reilly is whatever because he's gonna fight this guy who's 1-11. Just to hear all the hate from the AEW.
Yeah, I'll treat him. Okay, so then we do Willow and Riho. This looked ridiculous. I mean, they tried to make this work. It just looked completely phony. But thank God Willow went over. They didn't exchange where she catches her in the sit-out power bomb thing, the doctor bomb, she calls it, and beats her. It took her 13 minutes to beat a girl. She outweighs by like 190 pounds.
The doctor bomb was Steve Williams' old move. Yeah. That's why they call it that, yeah.
Right,
but so, what was worse is when, bro, and I tell wrestlers this all the time, and much like that move Kevin Cross was doing to a guy that was heavier, bro, why would you try to do the Northern Lights suplex on somebody who's three times heavier than you?
She almost broke her neck.
Yeah, she almost hit her head, right.
Right, she almost broke her neck.
It's fucking brutal, you know, and I can't believe the agent said that's okay.
Yeah, Riho, that could look completely, you could see the girl jumping,
right.
Trying to, bro, that was a very deep.
Almost fucked it up.
That was very dangerous to do.
It was
almost a catastrophic injury there. So after the match is another scene. Everybody hugs now after the match. Like, you know, so they hug.
Why are you hugging the person you're about to wrestle?
I don't know. So silly. So the lights went out. When he came out, Julia Hart was standing ringside, and Sky Blue came behind the ring and chop blocked her. Actually, not a bad attack.
Right.
They looked pretty like Sky Blue did pretty good here.
Yes, she did.
But then this crowd started chanting CEO. So then Monet comes down, punched Sky Blue in the face. She bumped on the aisleway, and then
And you know what was weird, and this is continuity issue. If every time you come out, Statlander and Stokely Carmichael, or what's his name? Hathaway.
Mm-hmm.
Come out with you. Why didn't they come out with you this time?
Right. Oh, they did. I think they came out to the eighth. They're on the stage. Then they hugged and they walked to the back. But
ringside. Stay ringside.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right. They came out for the entrance and then they hugged and then went back. Okay. So I guess, you know, why? I don't know. So,
right. Why every other match they were ringside and this one they decided to go back? Just explain something for us, please.
Okay. So then, So after Monet in her opening promo said she and Willow have unfinished business, like maybe there's some heat there. She left. She ran Julia Hart off, and then she looked over Willow and walked over and raised her hand.
Right.
She had unfinished business. Which she didn't get the chance to raise her hand after the last time they were because she broke her ankle in the match. So I don't know. They chanted CEO to end the show. She was over. So I definitely you can't deny that. And she's gonna be over because she's gonna get the CEO chance every time she comes out.
Okay. Even this will never ever be printed. Okay. Because
mm-hmm.
we had these guys at Wrestling Inc. They put Conan fucking AEW and blah 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 blah. And I wrote to them. I go, well, number one, they go, why didn't you say that they sold out Arena Mexico? Well, I'm not there to promote their house shows because that was a house show they sold out. Okay. Yeah, they sold it out. Good for them. But do you agree or you disagree that the way they started this angle with the Mexicans made no sense? That's my point.
All right.
You know? And, of course, they never answered.
Wait. So what was your contention that you were upset about?
They were – okay, can you bring it up, Joe, so I can read it because I don't remember it. I can read what they put. Okay, so while he's looking for that, let me just say this. I liked the whole show, everything, except – I wasn't a fan of the Kyle O'Reilly thing with what's the guy's name he's wrestling? John Dean? Or what, Sean, what's his name?
Brian Keith.
Okay. What's his name? But he's got a name before Brian Keith.
The Bounty Hunter,
Brian Keith that comes out with. Okay. Didn't like that. And I didn't like the main event. Other than that, I liked the whole show. Okay. So Conan accesses impact of CMLL wrestler.
Appearing on AEW.
Okay, open it up so you can see what. All right, so this is what I wrote. They CMLL came in. Nobody knew who they were. They were standing or sitting in the audience. Moxley made fun of them or whatever when he went to the corner. So now a match is made with no backstory, nothing. Then they have two matches, and now they're BCC already wrestling FTR. Two matches that meant nothing, did nothing for anybody, right? Really nothing. Then they bring in this kid, Atlantis Jr. Nobody knows who the fuck it is. One thing not mentioned by Conan is the success of CMLL's Homenaje a Dos Leyendas event that took place on March 29th, blah, blah, blah. Okay.
Who knows about that?
Okay. So this is what I wrote. Listen to this. Oh, Eric Mutter. This is the fucking jack off that used to write for Lucha Central, AAA and CMLL matches. Eat a dick, Eric. Okay. So Let me put my response, and this is to Eric, because I do know who you are. Well, I'm not here to promote their house shows, okay? That was a house show. I'm not supposed to be, okay? Plus, I was doing my weekly review of AEW TV. Yeah, they sold out Arena Mexico. I have no issues with them. Just pointing out it was a weak way to introduce them, or do you disagree? Where's your answer, my friend?
Yeah. So some guy, Mike, responded. Let me see Mike's response. Yeah. Mike says, are you trying to win the Fightful Hater of the Year award? I agree the introduction wasn't great, but it put a lot of new eyes on those guys. That can't be a bad thing. Well, put a bunch of...
And then I answered, this is what I answered. Well, I'm sure...
Me and Disco, all the old podcasters, are tied for first place because what we do, what do we know? Just trying to get an answer.
Right.
Yeah, what do we know? It's unbelievable. Like, well, we've written shows before and like we know.
Yeah, this is a fucking fan, right? Yeah. And he wants me to promote their house show. Like, right. You know, yeah, they sold out. Big fucking deal, dude. I don't work for that company. Why would I be promoting what they're doing? All I'm saying is their introduction had no heat, made no sense, and they're not even wrestling against the original guys they were wrestling with. Two matches, and they already went to somebody else. So explain to me how that was a good introduction. But the narrative is, the narrative from him and all the other fanboys that hate me because I tell them to go fuck themselves on the daily is he's bitter because they're there, because they're not using AAA. Bro, I'm not getting paid if they use AAA guys or not. You're just hurting the fans, not me.
Right.
And here's the other thing. Why don't you bring this up? AAA is not the promotion, but of course they'll never bring this up. AAA is not the promotion that's saying, hey, we won't work with CMLL. It's CMLL. How is that good for business? And why is that good?
Right.
You know?
Right.
So, you know, and here's the other thing, Disco, you know, for all those guys that AAA sucks and Conan doesn't know what he's doing and we're on the decline, Disco, this is a shoot what I'm going to tell you. We've had 5 TV so far this year. 5. Right. All 5 have been sellout. Not almost sellouts, sellouts. Have you ever heard about that? No.
Joe, pull up the WrestleNomics chart for the matches again.
Yeah, so like I said, I like Dynamite this week except for the Kyle O'Reilly and the main event.
That's last week, Joe.
Oh, yeah, because earlier you asked what the main event was. It was Ospreay Fletcher last week, remember?
Right. Yeah, that's not a main event either.
Right.
And that was like one of the lowest things of the show.
Four.
All right, here you go.
So that match, so the main event lost, the Rio versus Willow from the segment before lost 105,000 viewers.
And compared to the first segment.
Yeah.
And you know what's so frustrating about this? You have main event guys and you're not putting them in the main event.
That's the most bizarre. I don't know. But if we don't call Tony out on stuff, if we don't call them out on stuff like this, nobody will. Because all the AEW fans to see no issues with this and stuff. And like you look at the numbers each week and you look at the two graphs of the WWE shows and these shows, this show's constantly going down every week when you're putting your main event on first and a match like that on last. Like what do you expect is going to happen? I'm not a big fan of this show.
Here's why.
Once again, I just think that the Okada stuff, they're introducing new characters and they're not hitting the ground hard running. That's kind of a little, it's kind of lame. It's not.
I would agree with that, but I like the match. I like Mercedes coming out. Okay, let me look at this. Then Samoa Joe was good. You had Swerve coming in at the end. That was good. Mm-hmm. I liked the 6-man. I did. I thought that was a good match. You know, what else was after that? They leap versus still the 6-man. Then the Will Ospreay promo, which I liked. You didn't. Jay White and Darby Allin, I liked. Especially since they broke up the crew. Did not like the Chris Jericho and Hook versus the other two guys. That really was meaningless. And I did not like the main event.
All right, just another AEW review.
Boom.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.